Excellent. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday, November 21st call for W3C Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. We meet every Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern. We go over some boilerplate notes at the beginning, and then we will get into our main topic that will be about PlugFest 2. I'm going to be your meeting moderator today. My name is Carrie LeBoy. And the first thing on our agenda is to discuss IP note. Please note that anyone at all can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any of the CCG work items, specifically on documentation and standards, should be done by members with full IPR agreements signed. You should ensure that first that you have a W3 account, and then you can agree to the contributor license agreement. If you check the agenda for this call, the links for all of this will be in there. As you may note, we have a robot transcriber, and this robot does the best that it can to understand us, even mumblers like me, and take these notes for us that we publish. So we publish everything, including the audio and potentially video if we have it, to a public page. And this is how we have an archive for us to look back on, to learn for, and for those who can attend the meetings. We do queue everything in these calls. So if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, just type Q+ in the chat, just like I'm doing right now. And this will add you to the queue. You can type Q- if you'd like to remove yourself from the queue. And as we're doing the call, we'll keep an eye on that queue and call on you, as it seems to best fit. So next, let's, what we normally do is some introductions and reintroductions. We have about 23 people on the call today. So is there anybody here that is new or who is revisiting, this call and would like to introduce themselves? And if so, just do a Q+ in the chat and we'll add yourself to the queue. When you see me do a Q? In the chat, that is me checking the queue. Jen, I see you in the queue. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Jen Schreiber. I am an engineer, software engineer at Workday, and got to hear about some of the PlugFest at IAW, so I'm happy to join in on this call.
Thanks, Jen. And Maury from LearnerShape.
Hi, I'm Maury. I'm founder of a fairly early stage UK startup called LearnerShape. We build open source infrastructure for skills. I'm very interested to hear what everybody has to say.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. Okay, one other thing I should note, that if you are paying attention to the robot transcriber on the left side, and you see that it transcribes a word that definitely is not the word. You could help us along with that by doing substitutions in the chat. And you could do that like this. I'm going to type it in the chat and show you what I mean. So you do /wrong word/right word. And that should later on when the transcription publishing happens, replace the wrong one with the right one for us. Okay, next on the agenda is announcements and reminders. Does anybody have anything they would like to tell us about, anything that's upcoming, anything they've launched recently, new jobs, or anything else that is going on? Okay. If you think of something or would like to tell us something later, feel free to queue yourself in any time and we can do that. Okay, great. So why don't we get to our main topic, which is to talk about the PlugFest. Don't see Sharon Liu on here today. Sharon, nope. She might join us in a little while. We'll get started anyway. Oh, you are here. Great. Here, let me give you a link to my slides. And then we'll review these. And actually, Sharon, while I'm pulling up the slides, how about you, I call on you just to give us sort of an introduction to what the Plugfest has been and tell us more about it from a Jobs for the Future or JFF perspective.
Thanks, Carrie, and thanks for everyone for joining today. So just a quick overview. My name is Sharon Liu, and I work at an organization called Jobs for the Future. For those of you who don't know, Jobs for the Future is an organization in the United States that has been around for about 40 years, and we focus on the question of how do we provide opportunities for economic advancement for all. Our research question in the context of credentials then is what is the role that digital credentials can play in that process? And we're very interested in the idea of individuals collecting learning and working records over the course of a lifetime, right? So what people talk about when they talk about lifelong learning and managing the credentials that I think that provide evidence of the skills and abilities that they do have, and being able to share and share these as they pursue further opportunities. So with some funding from the Walmart Foundation, we are hosting a series of, in the middle, I guess, of a series of Plugfest. And the purpose of these is to see if we can make it technically possible to for learners and workers to curate their own learning and employment records. And in order to curate their learning and employment records, it's necessary for learners to have control over these digital credentials, to be able to hold them and to create presentations. So we've been taking this. We just finished the second of three. In the first Plugfest, we looked at the wallets themselves and the credentials. The second one that just happened last week at IIW, we looked at the interaction between wallets and credential issuers. And I see that on the agenda, we're going to be talking about the third one, but we are hoping to be able then to bring the third sort of leg of the trust triangle into that, the verifiers and relying parties. So in that context, it's been great for all of you to be part of this. It wouldn't have been possible without you. And I'll just give my quick hot take is I was actually really impressed with all of the work that happened. Not that impressing me should be your goal, but I think a lot of us went into this thinking that we were presenting a hardship to all of you, that it would be maybe difficult for you to find the minimum number of two partners. But what really astonished us was the number of that once interoperability, I think, was achieved with one or two partners, it made it infinitely easier in the context of the Chappie Playground and some other tools to actually demonstrate interoperability across a large number of the players in the ecosystem. And I know that, Carrie, you have some slides about this, so I won't get too much into that. But I think that is overall my hot take on this. And I will, I guess, turn it back over to you, Carrie, to go through the rundown. And if anyone has any questions, put them into the chat and I will chat with you, or we can talk later.
Awesome. Thanks, Sharon. I'm going to put the slides back up here for you. There we go. Okay. Okay. Can everyone see my slides okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
These are slides that I pulled together for today. I'm certain they are not entirely complete, and I'm happy that there are so many of you on the call who are at Plugfest. So please feel free to jump in at any point in time, put yourself in the queue, and fill in any thoughts while these slides are on or at the end of the slides. We'll have time for more discussions. So from a VC Edgy perspective, we love partnering up with JFF on this because our objective really has been to see that the Plugfest would broaden the vendor participation using VCs and DIDs and in the VC Edu ecosystem. And we want to be able to introduce VC wallets and issuers to education data standards, including this time it was Open Badges 3.0, and also increase interoperability. And I put this note in because somebody put this in the notes and I really liked it, which is the most simplest way to explain interoperability, right, is to let language let machines speak to each other. This all fits within our charter at VC Edu, at the task force to make VCs and education data standards more aligned, more useful, and increase adoption and understanding. And I think, as you'll see at the PlugFest, we scaled this quite a bit, and it was really tremendous, actually. What we did was we focused on these protocols and the standard. We focused on VC API CHAPI, which we'll go into a little bit, OIDC, DIDCOM V2, and then Open Badges 3.0. The top three were protocols used to exchange and transmit and issue verifiable credentials, or to communicate in some way or another, especially with DIDCOM, which is a communication protocol, a messaging protocol. And then also Open Badges 3.0, which we've spoken a lot about in this call with this group, because 3.0 actually sourced from a decision made from this community to work with One EdTech to charter and deliver Open Badges 3.0, which aligns verifiable credentials to that standard. That is, I believe it is in candidate final or close to candidate final. And we'll be talking a little bit about that today too. Check the queue here. Great. Okay. So these are the requirements for the PlugFest. Issuers were required to issue a valid Open Badges 3.0 credential to two different wallets. And then wallets were required to accept and display a valid Open Badge 3.0 from two different issuers. All participants were required to use DID authentication. And to display a valid Open Badge 3.0, they were required to display required VC fields, which I don't have listed here, but were things like issuer and issuance date and proof. Achievement image, issuer name, achievement description, achievement criteria, and then optionally it could be issuer logo or any other optional Open Badges properties or protocol specific fields. So we told folks they could add whatever they wanted to the Open Badge, into the credential if they wanted to, but the required fields were what we were looking for specifically. Then we asked for videos that demonstrated the issuance and also schema validation of Open Badges 3.0. And for the videos, though it doesn't list here, we ask that issuers either submit videos of their platforms issuing two wallets, or that wallets could submit two videos on behalf of those issuers. And as long as all of those requirements were met, then that would pass what was required for their participation. I believe some of this is still being reviewed, but on demo day, what we did was review these videos and talk about their experiences. I won't go through this whole timeline, but you can see that we started in August, and really, honestly, we started talking about this at the end of PlugFest 1, which was in June, and then we did the open call in August, and through September, we set some deadlines. And then the videos were due in November, and demo day was this past Monday on November 14th, the day before IAW in Mountain View, California at the Computer History Museum. And we did it in person, and we also did it virtually. How we communicated during the PlugFest were through direct emails to participants. And we tried to encourage the VC Edu email list as much as possible. And that's what we did for PlugFest 1. But for this PlugFest, we decided we would set up Slack channels per protocol, which seemed to be, honestly, very effective for most of the participants. I think like some drawbacks were that first of all, they needed to be added to the Slack. And, then it meant that all the conversations happening there were not happening on the VCEDU email list where many others could benefit. But it did give the members of each of the protocols abilities to just really work directly, very quickly, and asynchronously. I think another downside, though, may have been that there were some people who were on only one protocol, and they weren't really seeing the discussions happening on the other calls, other Slack channels, I mean. So demo day, like I said, it was virtual and in person. I'm guessing about 150 attendees between virtual and in person. It might be a little bit above or below that, but quite a few people participated in the day. We split it up into basically three sections, including lunch in there. So we had demos and discussions. We broke it up into the three different protocols. And then we did a debrief. And then we had some lunch and had some pretty great discussions. Some people stuck around for a while longer even to talk more about ways that we could go forward. The rest of the slides will go into the rest of the demo day and how we went through this. I want to thank Manu from Digital Bazaar and folks there who provided some slides, and also we have slides. I'm from the OIDC crew, and I grabbed a few here just to share, what the experiences are. Some of you may not have heard of CHAPI and BCAPI, so just briefly, the BCAPI is an API that describes endpoints to issue and exchange credentials, and CHAPI is sort of the connector, the browser, someone's probably going to explain this better than I can, but the browser polyfill that makes it possible for wallets to connect to issuers. So it's sort of like the in-between communicator between issuers and wallets. And the Digital Bazaar folks made this great place for you to go try this out called the CHAPI Playground. The URL is on here at chappi.io. This ended up being immensely useful for many of our participants, because what we were able to do is have those who had issuing APIs and platforms, they could connect in the background to the CHAPI Playground. And then the CHAPI Playground could be used to choose the issuer and then connect to the wallet that the tester would be issuing to. And you can see this is a pretty remarkable list of participants. So there are 81 combinations that were demonstrated. Not all of these were using the CHAPI Playground. There are some participants like Participate in Learning Economy and DCC and others who implemented CHAPI in their own system. But many folks used the CHAPI Playground for this. So there are 81 combinations demonstrated. 17 different issuers with 14 PlugFest participants and 3 who just came in from the broader BCAPI community to join in. There are 8 different wallets, 5 web wallets, and 3 native mobile apps. So these are the 81 combinations that were demonstrated. I won't go through this whole, we've been calling it the bingo board, but you can see that all of the different platforms that worked with each other, right, that coordinated with each other, either through CHAPI or through the Playground. And this included doing DidAuth too. So let this sit here for a minute. Actually, before I move on, is there anybody here on the call that sort of want to talk about their experiences with CHAPI and BCAPI? I see a few of you on here that were PlugFest participants. Okay, hope you don't mind, but I'm going to call on somebody. All right. Julie. Julie Keane from Participate. May I call on you to tell you about your experience and your team's experience with this?
Sure. Well, it was a great experience because we've been working with a bunch of different organizations that have been thinking more about adoption, and we're very excited to jump into something that would experiment with the wallet. We had a developer and created a sandbox because our actual learning platform, our credentials were only at the 2.1 spec for open badges. So we created a separate sandbox, and with the amazing team, including Carrie and James, Dimitri, were just incredibly super helpful, as well as the folks at, LEF. So it was really, felt very seamless from my perspective. And I know, that there was some problem solving, but again, given the fast sprint, it was just a really fun experiment and a really supportive community. Yeah.
So thanks, Julie. And the Participate team, so one of the things that happened was we provided an example badge for the participants to use, and they could have chosen to use that badge or use one of their own as long as it, complied with the Open Badges 2.0 spec. And Participate use an actual badge from their platform to do this. And Julie, do you want to tell us a little bit about that badge? And
yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, and that seemed really obvious to me from the beginning that we would create a sandbox and then kind of rebuild a badge in the sandbox. And we chose Black Girl Ventures because they had been involved with Jobs for the Future, knew Sharon, had been in some of their accelerator and mentor program, and Black Girl Ventures, just for background, trained Black and brown women of color who are starting businesses and are trying to solve the problem of lack of access to capital. Some of that is structural racism, which verifiable credentials probably can't solve, but some of it is also just building knowledge around ecosystems, building business plans, getting access to banks, learning how to talk to banks and VC, all of those things. So this was a learning pathway that Black Girl Ventures had developed. They've had these credentials available in Participate for a year and a half. So they've had hundreds, almost actually 1,200 women trained through these learning pathways, and they are using those credentials on the platform. But Omi Bell, who is the CEO of Black Girl Ventures, immediately saw the possibilities if they could get pushed into wallets. And so that's why we decided to use an actual badge so that we would jump into an actual use case. And so that's what we're trying to really explore now is what are the next steps for. She's very excited to figure out the next steps, like, right away. So she has a lot of energy. So yeah, trying to figure that out. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Julie. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to say about their experiences with Chappie or VCAPI? I'm going to move on to the next protocol then. We did, and also, by the way, once again, feel free to jump in whenever you'd like to add to this conversation. The next protocol is OIDC. I did put a link in the slides to the slides that were provided for OIDC because there's some great information in there about how it works. And I think that might be helpful. And I actually grabbed these notes from those slides. And what that group did, they demonstrated interoperability between 9 independent issuers and 8 wallet implementations. And this included different verifiable credential formats, different crypto algorithms, different issuer identifiers and DID methods, and also different holder binding methods, different DID methods there. Their bingo chart, looks like this. These were their results. And here you can see who is connecting to who, an issuer and then the wallet. David Chadwick, I see you on here. Would you like to talk a little bit about your experience with PlugFest? You were part of this group?
Yes, I will try. I'm at an airport, so it's slightly noisy, but we'll see how. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, the OpenID Connect issuing protocol allows the wallet and the issuer to negotiate which format they're going to use. So the protocol supports ISO mobile driving license format. It supports JWT and signed proof verifiable credential formats. It supports JSON-LD proof verifiable credentials as well. And so some of the group use JSON-LD signatures and some of the group use JWT signatures. Now, of course, those two don't interwork, so that's why you see two tables, because of the proof format that the different participants were using. As part of the NGI Atlantic project, we wrote a profile for all the choices that could be made from the verifiable credential for issuing protocol. And then everybody more or less used that profile with slight variations for the cryptographic algorithm and obviously for the proof format. And it turned out to be very successful, as you can see. And it proves that the protocol is actually very flexible, because it will support, you know, mobile driving licenses as well as different forms of verifiable credentials. So I think that's one of the strengths of the verifiable credentials for issuing protocol. It also has a way of authenticating users using the OAuth protocol, so that you know who is applying, and you know, it's not just anybody can pick up any particular verifiable credential, but they have to be authenticated first. I think that's all I want to say at the moment. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thanks, David. One of the questions I have for you, what were some of the challenges you think that this group faced while implementing for the platform?
The challenges were that different people had implemented different cryptographic algorithms, different DID methods, etc. So in order to be able to interwork, different people had to do changes to their implementation so they could negotiate the same set. So in our own particular case, we ended up supporting three different cryptographic algorithms, whereas when the plug fest started, we could only support one cryptographic algorithm. So that then allowed us to talk to different participants. And I know somebody else altered their DID method to be able to talk to ourselves. So that was the sort of the experiences of the people involved. There were also, we issued a number of change requests on the OpenID Connect protocol as a result of the PlugFest. So that's another positive feedback, that the actual experimental results showed where clarifications or omissions needed to be made to the OpenID draft standard. And most of those have been incorporated, although there are still some issues outstanding, and we're now sort of addressing issues in the verification in preparation for PlugFest 3.
Excellent. Thank you, David. I really appreciate that. Is there anybody that has anything they'd like to say about working in this group or their own experiences with OIDC? Okay, why don't we move on to the third group here, which was DIDCOM. And I do have to apologize because I didn't have the slides in time to prepare for this morning. I did get them a little while ago, so I put a link to them here in the slides. And I can, I'm going to put a link to them here in chat for you. In these slides right here, are some videos and demonstrations made by the DIDCOM group. They are still working on some of these implementations, but it is really worth looking into. This is a really interesting kind of protocol that is much newer than OIDC, of course, and VCAPI probably is the second newest, and then DIDCOM is the most recent. And I'm just going to read over some of the bullets in one of these slides, because I think that you'd like to know these things about DIDCOM, because probably you haven't had much experience with it. So DIDCOM messaging tells you how to use your DID to sign and encrypt messages for one or more other DIDs. with each of the devices having different keys. So it means that like DIDs can send messages to each other. You can declare and use a DID endpoint with the standard semantics. You can route messages through intermediaries with high privacy. You can verify the sender of a message. You can declare and handle the schema of a message. So it's a very, very unique way, a new way to use decentralized identifiers to communicate with each other. That said, it is, like I said, very new. And so, some of the software being built for the Plugfest was brand new and is still going to be worked on for some time. And so I think, we will hear more about that in the near future. And I think what's great about this is that it allowed this group to really see what was needed to deliver credentials from one DID to another and see what's needed there. And I think in many ways it advanced that work and also brought teams together to work on this more. And all of that is just simply a fantastic achievement for a Plugfest, even if we were only doing DIDCON for this Plugfest. Is there anybody here that is in that group that wants to speak to this? This is a much smaller group. I think, Sharon, correct me, or Dimitri and Simone, I think there are only maybe 4 or 5 in this group.
I'm wondering if, let's see, I see Snorra on here. I was wondering if I could call on him to speak to it a little bit.
Yeah, Snorra, are you available to do that?
I don't see him on here. Okay.
So oh, he's not on here. Yeah. Okay. Well, I would stay tuned on this protocol. You're going to hear more about it in the near future, and it's really a very interesting one. Dimitri, is there anything else you'd like to say about it before I move on?
No, exactly the same sentiment as what you said. Keep an eye on this. This is really interesting. It's an ambitious protocol that has some really cool communication properties, and I look forward to learning more about it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Simone, do you have something?
Just something that that is related to DIDCON. As much as there wasn't in that same level of activity in this protocol camp, it really felt, even in the Internet Identity Workshop, that DIDCON was very promising, and there's a lot of work going into it as we speak, and there's some kind of excitement to see this protocol develop more. And in fact, I picked up at IIW an announcement, I think it was the last day, that apparently SIGPA is an organization very active in this space out of Switzerland, had donated libraries to DIDCON. And I think this is a good signal, because DIDCON probably lacked some of the development tools or you know, playgrounds or environment that made it harder to build on it. So this is probably good news and a good signal for the future. So we look forward for more DIDCON side building in the near future.
All right. Thank you, Dimitri and Simone. Backwards here. Okay. So, looking at the time, and so a few more slides here, and then maybe we can get into a little bit of a discussion. These are some things that I listed as accomplishments. Some of you may have many more things to list on this based on your experiences. What I noticed was this, was that there was a really increased experiential understanding of what it would actually take to issue VCs to wallets using available protocols. Meaning that we talk a lot about how it could work. But when we actually started, developing code and working with each other and making it happen, In many cases, it was very seamless because of the tools that some provided, and many, it was, you know, we had other work to do. You know, platforms need to develop tools to make this happen, learn more about doing signatures. We had one group, actually the participate group, that developed some, I believe, some software for Ruby, things that we didn't even have before. So this this experiential understanding, I mean, as you know, once you try something, you learn all sorts of new things. And this was a great accomplishment for this. Without a PlugFest, we wouldn't necessarily have so many vendors and individuals working together trying to figure out something that was new to so many others. Secondly, we established relationships. Many of us have been working in the education and credential ecosystem for a long time, and then many others have been working in the just VC space and did space for other time. And a PlugFest like this really brought these groups together and also brought people together who just had never met and known each other before. And now we'll continue to work together and have already set up calls and meetings going forward. And, you know, that's an incredible accomplishment too. Thirdly, we definitely advanced the technology and we made it more accessible. Not to say that we don't have some many more challenges there, but we moved it forward, right? We're building upon giants and we're building and increasing this. And we are making a lot of progress in that way. And that is also something that, you know, in the short time span that we really spent on this is incredible. And then also we revealed challenges. So we had a lot of hard lessons, and we learned that, you know, what it is we need to think about next. We may have suspected that before, but now we really understand what some of those significant challenges are. Before I move on to those, I just want to see if there's anybody here who would like to jump in on that. Simone, you first. You're in the queue.
All right. So as I was reflecting on PlugFest, I think there have been a few interesting positive externalities. That is, things that happened that were unexpected, but they were positive. Well, I mean, some were kind of known, but just to go through a list of things. So it was, I think one great outcome here was that, you know, we really brought together, we showed interop across two different standard development organizations, that is W3C and OneEdTech. Leveraging Open Badges 3 was just a very delightful way of bootstrapping the adoption of a new spec, a new standard that is coming from OneEdTech. So that was beautiful to see happen. The other point was that in the Chappie camp, what happened is that thanks to the playground, we have seen other players in the Chappie ecosystem realize that PlugFest was going on, and so they just jumped in and started to issue open badges through themselves. I think this is an interesting, unexpected outcome. So we had actually more participation beyond the cohort. Also, we introduced a new tool for collaboration, which is Slack. I think that proved very constructive in terms of the community self-organizing itself. I think that is something that we may want to keep going and leverage for the future. We've also developed an interesting new set of tools. Well, the playground of Chappie is certainly a good example of it, that we bootstrap interop. But also, you know, we leverage work that existed that came from other projects. David mentioned the profile that were developed in the NGI Atlantic project, you know, that were then leveraged for PlugFest. Also, this PlugFest created the opportunity to provide feedback. And so change requests, both in the OIDC camp, but there also have been issues logged into the open badge specification. So those are all great things that I think will advance the ecosystem going forward. I'd say that, you know, this is, and also the last thing I would mention is that as much as most of this interop displayed was in like a safe environment, in a playground environment, There are also promising interop that were showed with projects that have, you know, that are production ready and that are already happening. Particularly one that I'm involved in is the MyCreds. MyCreds is this national platform in Canada for, where, you know, at some point all the post-secondary institutions are going to issue their digital diplomas through the platform. MyCred is partnering with Matter. And so the interop that Matter showed in this particular context really speaks to the, you know, the possibility of taking this kind of interoperability to scale and in practice right away. So we're not just playing around with tech here. I think we're just building something that has an impact. I think that was kind of my list. Back to you, Carrie.
That was a great list. Thank you, Simone. Sharon, you have the floor.
I just have one quick, accomplishment that I think is really important that I alluded to earlier, is that in education and in workforce development, a lot of people have been saying we should allow people to curate their own learning and employment records. And I think that nobody has been able to make this happen outside of a closed, very finite closed ecosystems. And I think that, you know, the interoperability against open standards in this kind of open ecosystem is actually going to be what makes that possible. And I'm particularly excited because this has not been demonstrated before, so separate from the technology, but the technology enabling us to create tools that will, I think, we think, help us address some of our social impact questions. So I'm very excited about that element, and I am done.
Thank you, Sharon. Mona, you have the floor.
Thanks. So I found the PlugFest was fantastic. It was really great. I think this is the most important interoperability demonstration of this year around verifiable credentials and DIDs. One thing that was really like surprising to us in a really good way is we got to work with issuers that we had never heard of before and wallets that we had never heard of before. And believe it or not, like they were able to achieve interoperability, at least with, you know, Chappie and the Chappie playground. They were able to demonstrate interoperability, before we even talked with them. Like that's a really good, you know, positive sign, for the direction that, you know, these various, technologies are going in. So I wanted to stress the notion that we had organizations that had never worked with this technology before, VCs or DIDs, and they were able to build out against the standards and achieve interoperability in 3 to 4 weeks. Some of the other organizations that we know of that have been in here for a long time were able to do that, as well. And we were able to, most importantly, pull in a whole bunch of new issuer platforms that demonstrated interoperability through things like Chappie and VCAPI, NOID4. So that was also really nice to see. I'm really excited about like the next PlugFest and how many more you know, companies and wallets and issuers and verifiers that we can pull into the mix. That's it for me.
Thank you, Martin. That is great. Okay, I'm going to move on to our next slide. I'm all like beaming over here, by the way. You can't see me because I don't have the camera on, but I know that so many of us are working so hard on this, and it is really just making me so happy that we're all making so much progress in this space. These are some of the challenges that we encountered. These are just ones that I came up with. I'm certain there are others that we could add to this list if others would like to queue themselves up. But just briefly, one of the primary challenges actually we had that was kind of an expensive one that we're still navigating. I think we're getting close to at One Ed Tech is the Open Badges 3.0 context changes. And this wasn't necessarily on one ed tech on their own. It was something that didn't really occur to all of us because we hadn't really operated together in this kind of a coordinated way before. But what happens is JSON-LD uses something called a context file that contains URLs and terms, right? And the terms and the URLs link to information about those terms. And if there are any changes to those terms, whether you are added, taken away, or the URLs are changed, then it can cause some mismatches between issuers and wallets. And this is because issuing platforms either load in the context prior to issuing, or some of them cache it. So if they had loaded a previous version and issued issued a badge with that version cached, then when it went to the wallet, that wallet was reading, say, a more current version of or a newer version of the context, or even a much older version, there would be a mismatch between the two, and this could cause signature errors. And so our participants were tracking down these issues, right? They're wondering, why are we having all these signature errors? What could it possibly be? Spent hours, you know, trying to diagnose this until they tracked it back down to the context file. Because, you know, of course, like, you know, diagnosing crypto errors can be a challenging thing. And so it took a while to figure that out. Open badges, the context file for open badges was reverted to a version where most of us were using that context file. So it still caused some problems, but it alleviated most of them. And now there are discussions going on about what those updates will be going forward, because there still will be changes since it is not a final spec yet. So we're in conversations about that, and I can put a link in the chat in a little while for an issue that is listed in the GitHub repository where you can take a look and make some comments in there if you have any thoughts to that. The next one was we had a discussion about who the issuer is and the assessor for an education credential, because it could be that a platform or another body is doing the signing of the credential on behalf of the assessor. So they may not always be the same bodies. And we knew that would be an issue, so that came up a little bit in our discussions at Plugfest. We all know that, you know, user experience is something we need to work on. And we really talked a lot about how we need to bring more users in. You know, we are technologists in groups. We're all working on this technology, but we're not doing enough user research. And we need more of that in this space, some actual, like, experience so that we can, you know, translate that into better usability. And then lastly on my list is trust frameworks. We talked quite a bit about what those are in this space, what those could be, how, you know, we need verifiers to know that the issuers actually have the, I want to say permission, but authority or what have you to issue these credentials, and what that means in various contexts. And so that led to some other great conversations that are going on in the space about that. Type in the queue. The queue is empty, but I'm sure there are others who may want to speak to other challenges that they experienced that I did not hit yet. Manu?
Yeah, one of the challenges that we hit was just communication in the Plugfest. And I don't think we couldn't have predicted the amount of the number of people that were going to participate. But we found that a lot of our time, at least DigitalBazaar's time, was spent kind of communicating with various implementers and trying to get them kind of aligned with what they were doing. And in some cases, we were trying to teach them VCs and DIDs as things were happening. We think that the bulk of that is over, but there is this N by N communication problem. The Slack channel helped with it a bit. But I don't know how we can improve that, you know, in the next go around. I think one of the challenges was making sure that we had email addresses for the kind of the, I don't know, managers or executives at the company and in the people that were implementing. Like, it felt really important to have those two people in any contact that we were doing. And some of the challenge was just getting that information from the companies that were involved. Like, we need to talk to you about a technical thing. Who do we talk to about that? We had to kind of discover that as we went. So it's, for the next PlugFest, it might help to just have a, you know, business contact or managerial contact and primary technical contact for each organization in case you need to like reach out and have a call with them or an email discussion. That's it.
Thank you, Maya. That makes sense. Okay, we are nearing, I see that, Simone, you are in the queue.
Yeah, just to offset Manu's comment in terms of the team at Digital Bazaar really going above and beyond. You know, Manu spoke about the level of, say, coordination that he took for his team to build and to participate. They really, you know, went above the requirements. And because of the additional work that they put in, we've heard comments from participants saying exactly the opposite, that in fact, it was very easy for them to coordinate. And through the playground, they almost did not even know who was, you know, playing or interacting with them. Because that particular, you know, tool made it very easy for them. So they just could focus on the code and on the coordination. So again, great, great work on the Digital Bazaar team. Thanks a lot, Manu. You made a collaboration very easy for others. I know you invested a lot on it.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you, Simone. Dimitri.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up, so I think our main challenge now is what to do for the next PlugFest, because we do have a next PlugFest coming up, and so we've done a couple of the really heavy lifting, the first two PlugFests, and now we've got a couple of options on which to test. We have some really good arguments from some of the implementers that this should be picked carefully because participating in a PlugFest is very expensive for an implementer, and we want to keep that in mind. So we're going to have, and Sharon will say more about this, but obviously we're going to continue having conversations on this. I wonder if it makes sense, or we're too close to the time to hear ideas from the crowd, but I just wanted to put it on the table, into everyone's head. Start thinking about the next one. All right. Thanks. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do have time. We have a few minutes if folks want to stay on and talk about that. Before we do, just briefly, I want to tell you that next steps, we are going to publish a list of the participant videos. And we're also, we have a video from the demo day from Ring Central that is pretty huge in its video. So we're processing that and trying to figure out the best way to distribute it. And also, I don't have a bullet on here, but we were talking about how to do education efforts at BCEDU, but I would love to pick up that topic at a future call soon. With that, why don't we open it up to discussion, questions, and ideas about what the focus for PlugFest 3 should be. Please cue yourself up. We have a couple of minutes left where we can do that. Manu. I will call on you, please, to verifying.
Yeah, so verifying, right? It's the kind of feels like the obvious thing that we need to close the whole loop to demonstrate a full end-to-end flow. So I would, you know, and it feels like we're ready to do that, at least, with the Chappie Playground and the BC API and that sort of thing. So, it would be nice to have the third PlugFest have some aspect of verifying in it. That's it.
Thank you. Nate, you're next.
plus one to that. Verifying seems like the next step in the round trip of a credential. We've gotten it issued in the right format in PlugFest 1. We've gotten it sent to the wallet in PlugFest 2. And now maybe time to send it from the wallet on to the next step in its journey. And then, you know, like subsequent to that, I think you brought up trust registries previously. There's a lot of questions about, like, what does it actually mean? What do we rely on to understand what a credential means? But I think prerequisite to all that is actually getting the credential into some system that will verify it and try and start that process of making sense of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Nate. And David, I believe you're last in our queue, so you can close us out for today. David, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. David Chadwick, sorry. All right. Unfortunately, we can't hear David. So, David.
I'm working on a mobile phone, and it's different to a laptop, and finding the microphone was a bit difficult. So I just wanted to report to the group that as part of the NGI Atlantic project that we're running at the moment, which finishes at the 1st of December, we're now starting to do verification tests. So I can tell you the roadmap that we are planning over the next couple of weeks. That is, first of all, a simple verification where a request is sent from the relying party to the wallet, and the wallet produces a verifiable presentation that meets that request. And we are proposing to use the DIF presentation exchange specification for that, to specify the verifiable presentation. And then after that simple one, we're going to introduce trust frameworks, and we're going to do that in two steps. One is using the TRAIN trust framework, which was a product of the ESSF lab set of projects in Europe by Fraunhofer. And so we're going to put both Spruce and ourselves into that trust framework. And then we're going to, if time permits, use GAIN. Now, for those who have not heard of GAIN, GAIN is another project of the OpenID Forum Foundation. And that is looking at connecting different trust frameworks together, because it's recognized that there are many different trust frameworks in existence in the world, in the academic community and in the commercial world. And GAIN is trying to plug them all together, and it has a model for plugging them all together. And this is to use a new draft standard from the OpenID Foundation called OpenID Federation. And so we're going to try and do that. And if we manage to do that, it means that anybody from any federation, if they support GAIN, should be able to connect on a global basis with anyone else. So that's what we're proposing for verification.
Yeah, that's fascinating, David. Thank you very much for sharing that. That's it for our call today. Hope you all have a great week. For those in the U.S. who are celebrating, have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for all of you very much. Take care.